mind one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Change Your Minds Online show. Today, I'm so used to saying, how you doing, Jess? But Jess is not with us today. And she is still on her retreat, and she is going to talk to us about that on Thursday. So be looking out for that great information. But today, we are talking to our first Sunday superstar, Miss Bridget Wilder. How you doing today, Bridget?
Well, I'm fabulous, and I'm super excited to be here with you and your listeners today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, yes, I love your story, and you are a true inspiration to myself and as well as others, and I know it's time for you to be, your story to be told.
Okay, well, I'm excited. Let's get started.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Well, let's start with the first question of the evening. So, Bridget, before you became the person you are today, what did your life look like?
Well, Tina, I would say that my life early on was really about being in survival mode. At the age of 3, I started having seizures, and the doctors couldn't tell my parents why I was having seizures, and it took them almost 4 years to get my medication properly dosed so that my seizures could be controlled and where I could, you know, function and learn. So when my parents took me to first grade, the school system really didn't know what to do with me because I was over-medicated, and they assumed that I couldn't learn. And they told my parents that they wanted to place me in special education. Fortunately for me, I had very strong parents, and they knew it was really more about not my ability to learn but about getting the medication at the proper dosage. So they pulled me out of school for an entire year, and during that time, the doctors was able to level out my meds. So when I returned to first grade at the age of 7, my parents went a step further. They ensured that I got a teacher that would nurture me, that would help me to grow and learn. But by them doing that, it really changed my life because not only was I on the road to learning, but I also was on the road to believing in myself. And although I was on medication, I still had episodes of seizures up until about the age of 12. And all of a sudden, I stopped having them. And once again, the doctors couldn't tell my parents why they stopped. But what I really took from that time frame, especially the ages of 7 to 12, I learned a lot about human nature. And by that I mean when I was functioning properly with my meds, when the medication was working, I could blend in, I was normal. But when people saw me have a seizure, I became different in their eyes. I got one of two reactions. They were either afraid of me because they thought they could catch my condition for some reason, or they felt sorry for me. And even though I was young, I didn't like either reaction, Akina. So what I did as I got older, I started paying attention to the signs of when I was about to have a seizure. So for me, that was my right arm would tingle, then throb, and then I would go into a seizure. So when I noticed the first trigger, I learned to control my mind and in turn my body so that I could not have that seizure for a period of time. So I built up a high tolerance for stress, but what it also created inadvertently in me was to be in an autopilot of survival, and I did that type of survival mode for about, throughout my formative years, I would say, and up until about the age of 27, and at that point, that's when I had what Oprah calls my aha moment, and I realized there had to be a better way.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a lot for a child to have to deal with, you know, but you definitely handled the situation, definitely. So now, what was your true turning point when you said, okay, I had the aha moment, now what?
Right. Well, I actually had two. At the age of 27, it finally clicked with me that blending in and being normal really wasn't bringing me happiness. And, you know, although I had achieved some educational goals, I had gotten a couple of degrees, I had achieved some professional goals, I wasn't happy, you know, because I wasn't living my passion. Me and you talk about that all the time. But the reality was I hadn't thought about my passion because I was too busy surviving. But I knew, you know, deep within my core that there had to be something better. And so when I got an opportunity to take a job out of state, I moved to a state where I had never lived and I had no immediate family. And that was really the best thing for me because during those 4 years, I learned that not only could I survive, but I could thrive on my own. And that was my first turning point. But my second turning point happened at the age of 43. I had my son, Dred Scott, and shortly after he was born, I developed a cough that went on for several weeks. And that cough eventually turned into hoarseness. And as you know, I'm in HR, so my voice is my bread and butter. And I decided to go to the doctor, and he told me that I had polyps on my vocal cords, my left and right, but it wasn't cancerous, and that he could perform an outpatient procedure and remove them. So I'm like, okay, let's make that happen. I thought everything was fine. 2 years later, the vocal polyps came back again. I had a second surgery. A year later, polyps came back again. I had a third surgery. So when you think about that time frame, over 4 years, I had three vocal procedures, which meant that, in reality, my son never consistently heard my voice until he was about 3 years old. Also during that time, my sister passed, and I got divorced. So, you know, needless to say, having back-to-back challenges like that, it taught me to focus on what's important, to be fully present with those people that I loved and that loved me. But most of all, it taught me about not letting life happen to me. Instead, I want it to happen to life. So when I would have those vocal procedures, I would have to be on vocal rest for a minimum of 10 days, but I just didn't want to sit at home. So what I had decided to do after I had the outpatient procedure each time, I would go back to work the next day, and I had to communicate with employees. So when I walked in the hallway, I carried a whiteboard, and eventually I found an app that whatever I typed, it spoke for me. So that was just a small way that I had control, and I was happening to life when it came to a scenario that I had limited control over.
Man, you know, it's amazing how when we go through things, we can either decide to let it happen to us or
right.
we make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that you were going to make it happen. And you just took those lemons and turned them into lemonade, and oh my goodness, you were just quite innovative. Got that app, you know, and let it do all the talking for you. You know, sometimes do you still use the app? Do you still let it do a little talking before you take a break?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I implement my own vocal rest and I use the app.
Now, do you still have to do the vocal rest? I mean, is that, or are you completely healed at this point?
Well, I'm completely healed at this point. Sometimes I do choose to do the vocal rest, especially as an HR professional. I do a lot of training, so I find it's beneficial to give my voice a break after I've had consistent back-to-back training. It's just something that is for my well-being, and I focus on having that type of structure.
So, Bridget, tell us about how your life has changed since your last aha moment at 43.
Well, I tell you now, Akina, I try to live life on purpose now. I plan for the future, but I try to stay more focused on living fully present for today. The other thing that I do is that I plan life experiences for myself and my son, because with the challenges that I've had, I've learned that tomorrow isn't promised, so it's important that I create my legacy each day.
Oh, wow. Wow. So now, creating life experiences. Give us a couple examples about that. I mean, that sounds interesting.
Well, I think about things that my son enjoys, as well as things that I want to expose him to. So I might plan some type of outing or event that when he recalls it as he gets older, he will remember that he spent this time with his mother. And it could be something as simple as planning a certain time of the evening that we are going to be reading and enjoying something that is going to bring us together. Or it could be something such as going to Nashville and planning some type of event that way. But I want him to be able to associate positive things with his relationship with me and to remember that no matter what, that his mother loved him. And one of the things that we practice on a daily basis, we say to each other, I love you whole lot, always and forever, no matter what. Because I want to instill in him that regardless of what he does in life, that his mom always has his back.
Ooh, that's powerful. That's powerful. It's a lot of children that don't get that I love you. And to be able to be reinforced every day with
right.
that is so wonderful. I mean, is there a reason why you decided to go in that route, constant reinforcement?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I had very strong parents. And, you know, going through what I did at such a young age, I developed a very strong bond with my parents, and I had the proper balance in terms of love. My mother was always constantly telling me, I love you, I love you, because sometimes when kids saw me have the seizures, they ran away from me because they were afraid of me. And I spent a lot of time with my parents, and my mother would always tell me, no matter what, I always love you. And then my dad had that balance of he knew I had a physical challenge, but he always held me accountable to say, hey, I know you can do this. I got your back, but I want you to try. And that's the same thing that I try to do with my son.
Mm. Those are wonderful nuggets that you're sharing right now, Bridget. You know, because a lot of people don't have that support. And it's not even as children, it's as adults. We're trying to reach our dream, but we don't have that support system that we thought we had or we think we should have. But the difference is you made that support system for him, and we have to make our support system for us. That is such a key point. I love that. And then as Dre grows up, he'll be able to make his support system. He won't have to lean on someone else because he'll know he's great.
Right.
That's an awesome point, Bridget. I appreciate you for sharing that with us. Now, I knew you, when I met you, you were, you know, the tip-top HR maven. And there were so many different things that you did as the maven that impressed me so much. And I think that a lot of the audience would really appreciate hearing some of those stories. So tell us how you became the HR maven.
Well, you know, fortunately for me, you know, I've always been a person that was very focused on achieving because I wanted to be like everybody else, but then I eventually decided, okay, I need to be different from everybody. But I've always had at least one or two people that was always behind me. They gave me an opportunity, and I worked it. But I think what's helped me to be successful, as you call the HR maven, is that I'm not focused on what I can get out of a situation. I'm focused on what I can do to help others. And by helping others, you'll be rewarded in the end. And one of the things that I did at my former company, and you partnered with me on this, we did a lot of professional development training and mentoring so that we could share our life experience and our stories to help others. And I think that's really what it's all about. Human resources is more than about liking people. It's about helping people, feeling the empathy about their situation and finding solutions to help them to resolve it and to achieve more.
So now I know that you did some things that were, you know, incredibly above the board, above the mark, you know. So tell us about some of the ways that you worked the opportunity.
Well, when I was at my former company, I put together what's called a leadership development consortium. And what that was I identified all the business leaders, and we got together to talk about what we needed to do in terms of developing our employees. And we came up with a curriculum that we rolled out on a quarterly basis. In addition to that, we put together what we call the Women of Distinction and Men of Excellence, where we worked with a group of individuals that wanted to take their own performance on both a personal and professional level to the next level. And I provided training along with partnership with some of my business partners to develop some skill sets, to develop some training that would help them to get there, and then also provided some mentoring and gave them feedback about things that I saw that were areas of opportunity, but if they were committed, we could get them to the next level. So those are just a few of those examples, and I'm doing that now through my company, and we can talk about that later as well.
Ah, yes, the company. Yes. I can't wait to talk about that. But tell us, do you have any advice for anyone who is presently facing, you know, similar situations, mm-hmm. medical issues,
right.
you know, not having that support system per se, you know, what would you tell that person?
Well, I have a couple of pieces of advice. First, I would, you know, ask you to remember that all of us are going to face some form of challenge in our life. And I can tell you when I was going through some of my challenges, I broke down and I asked myself, why me? But then after I allowed myself to have that pity party, I sat up straight, I put on a warrior mentality, and I asked myself some key questions such as, why not me? You know, what am I supposed to be learning from this repeated life challenge that I'm having? And then what can I do to take those life lessons and help others? That's the first piece of advice. The second would be is that falling down may not be an option, but getting up is always a choice. So I would encourage you to let your legacy be one that you never gave up on you, and that instead of fearing failure, fear not living up to the greatness within you. That would be my advice.
Oh, my goodness. That's, you know, so many times that we've all just didn't feel like getting up.
Right.
But the difference is, as successful businesswomen, we got up.
Right, right.
We made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get up for just, you know, we got up for ourselves, but then we got up for the people that were depending on us. We got up for the people who were counting on us. We got up for the people who were motivated by us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got up because we deserved to get up.
And
we didn't deserve
one of my
to
favorite,
get up.
Right. One of my favorite motivational speakers, Les Brown, he says that if you can look up, you can get up. So even if you fall down on your back, you're looking up. So you might as well get up.
Yes, it's all about that upward mobility. Get up.
Right.
Get up. Your dreams are just an action away. And
for
if
sure.
you don't get up, they are going to still be that action away. But
mm-hmm.
the moment that we get up, we have already set the track to go further. Oh, that's wonderful, Bridget. That is wonderful. So now we get to talk about your current projects. Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I have been quite busy since August. In August, I started my own personal blog called Something to Think About, and I share my personal stories, life experiences, stories and quotes to help my readers take that content and decide how they can commit to applying that content in both their personal and professional lives so that they can be the best that they can be. You can check out my blog at bemoniqueb.com. That's bemoniqueb.com. The other thing that I recently started, I started my own consulting business. It's called Wilder HR Management and EEO Consulting. And I work with both organizations and individuals. On the organizational side, I provide consultative services on HR and EEO functions that include but are not limited to organizational development, affirmative action, compliance, as well as diversity. And with individuals, I work with them on presenting them their best selves in the interviewing process as well as through their resume package.
Oh, my goodness. That is so key, having that strong resume, having that strong cover letter, all of those different things to make put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't mind, could you give us some key tips for that interviewing process?
Right. I think one of the most important things is when you are preparing for an interview, you need to think of yourself as me incorporated because you're your own company. So what is it about you, your company, your product, which is you, that would make you stand out? And you have to identify those core characteristics as well as your core values, because when you're researching the company, you want to see how your core values and what you bring to the table are aligned with the company so that as you prepare your answers, you can tie all of that back together. Remember, an interview really is it's sort of like a commercial, a sales presentation, and it's all about you. So you should be able to fully and thoroughly talk about you, but from the standpoint of how what you provide to the company who is your customer is going to be benefited by hiring you because you're solving some type of problem or pain point.
And what should they bring when they go?
Well, when they go, one of the things that I recommend, in addition to your would recommend that you bring together, bring as well your portfolio. And your portfolio should be samples of your work that relate to the key functions of the job, which were outlined in the job description. So that way, let's say they said, well, Bridget, tell me about your accounting experience. And I can say, well, hey, John, I'm glad you asked me about that. I give a high-level overview of that. And then I say, well, let me show you some samples of my work. And then that's when you pull out your portfolio. Because when they can see what you've done somewhere else, they also can relate to you being able to do that for them. And that's a powerful thing. And right after the interview, one of the things that you should do is to send a thank you note, not only thanking them for their time, but reiterating why you're the best fit for the job and ask for the job as well.
That is great. So now I have, I'm sure we have plenty of consultants and plenty of entrepreneurs on the call right now. Now, would that portfolio also help when they're going for the bid?
It surely will, because if you have the opportunity to provide supplemental documentation, when you're able to put that in there, again, most people are visual. So when they have that writing accompanied with that visual presentation, that's going to help you to stand out because most people probably won't think about doing that. I can tell you on an interview that I went on, after I had the discussion with the CEO that I interviewed with, and he told me about what his pain points were, when I did my follow-up thank you note, I included some samples of work that tied back to what he told me his pain points were. I created something tied to that. And so, again, that gave him some insight regarding what I brought to the table. And that would also apply when you're doing something related to an entrepreneur.
That is awesome. You know, not only did you bring your value, but then you backed up the value with the thank you note and
right.
the additional documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of entrepreneurs, I think you said you have a gift for them today.
I do. I'm offering two gifts, one for entrepreneurs and one for two for individuals. For the entrepreneurs, I will provide 2 hours of consultation for you. And for individuals, I will provide a 45-minute interview skill drill practice with you. So the way to get that, put in your comments on the website regarding the key takeaway that you have. I'll pick from those and I'll contact the individuals to let them know that they won.
That is great. So I'm getting ready to post in the event.
Okay.
Right now, what is your takeaway? And you can post in there and Bridget will pick from there. That is awesome. And now, of course, it's time for me to really ask you, what should they be taking away? Now, they can't use these in the post. They can't use these in the post.
Okay.
But what are your major takeaways from, you know, your life experience that you would like to share with others?
Well, two things I'd like for people to take away from my story is, one, always remember that where you are and where you've been, it's not going to define where you can go. The second takeaway that I would, you know, want people to remember is, most importantly, stay committed to your personal excellence and to your core values, because in the end, no matter what others say about you, you will know that you lived what you believed, and that's what true success is about. So those are my takeaways.
That is wonderful. And on the first Sunday Superstar, I usually like to share what I'm inspired about the person. And you have inspired me greatly. There were many times when you saw me where I didn't see myself. You pulled me out of my comfort zone on so many occasions, but I was like, I won't go with it, B. And so publicly on the show, I want to thank you for seeing me in my potential and not where I was, and giving me the opportunity to help you help others. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Sister Fran. That's mutual.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Bridget, for being on the call today, and thank you for being an inspiration to myself and to others. And if you were touched by anything that Bridget had to say today, you can find this call on Blog Talk Radio at Change Your Minds Online, or you can find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, TuneIn, and we are on our Android and iPhone app. Remember, we're always here for you, to motivate you, to empower you, and to inspire you. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the call today. And we look forward to great things and being a part of your lives. Thank you so much, and thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. You have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.